Cool. All right, we might get started. Cool. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to today's orientation session. Welcome to those of you here, but also welcome to those on the webinar as well. I know there are quite a few of you on the webinar. So my name is Gloria Yu. I'm on the Actuaries Institute's Leadership and Career Development Committee. Our committee supports the ongoing development of leadership skills within the profession. We support actuaries to be thought leaders at the forefront of industry developments to provide strategic leadership and to grow actuaries of the future. And one of the ways we do that is through the mentoring program. So this year will be the fourth year that we are running the mentoring program. And I'm a strong believer in mentoring, and I have the pleasure and privilege to look after the mentoring program this year together with my colleagues on the working group. So that's Bill Constantinides over there, Newcham, as well as Nikki Appleton, who's Melbourne-based. And of course, we are supported by our very helpful institute staff, Katrina, as well as Jennifer, as well. So this evening, we have a couple of objectives. First of all, we want to improve your understanding of mentoring. Second of all, we want to set expectations of Actuaries Institute's mentoring program. And thirdly, for those attending this session in person, you have the opportunity to mingle with other mentees as well as mentors over drinks at the end. We're going to have a Q&A session later on, so feel free to jot questions down and remember those and ask us later on. And for those on the webinar, please feel free to type away as we go along. Jennifer is going to capture your comments and questions, and she will bring them to us at the end. So, can I get a show of hands of who has been involved in this program before in the past? Oh, okay, a few, not many. People to keep us honest as we talk about it. And put up your hand if you have registered this year both as mentor and mentee. One, lucky one. There may be more on the webinar, so we don't know who you are, but you can let us know later on if you like. So one way to explain the concept of mentoring is for me or the rest of the working group to talk about it, tell you how great it is and why you should get involved. But we thought a more practical, a more real and more helpful way is to actually get the people who have been involved in mentoring before, either through the Institute's Actuaries mentoring program or elsewhere, to actually share with you their experiences and to tell you their own stories. So we've got three very special guests this evening, and Neil will be facilitating the discussion for them. So keep your questions and inquisitive mind open as we meet our three special guests as well as Neil. So without further ado, I'll invite Neil as well as our three special guests up on stage here.
Stand up here. No, I'll stay up here. So good evening, everybody. How are you all going? My name's Neil Chung. So I'm also on the Committee for Leadership and Career Development along with Gloria and Bill. And along with Nikki, all four of us are actually on the mentoring working group. So for our presentation tonight, in true actuarial style, we have looked to improve how we present, I guess, the mentoring program to all of you. And what we've decided to do is include a lot of experience, I guess, into it and talk about it with people who actually have mentors so that you will all have an idea of what you're getting yourself into, what the expectations are, and what the benefits that you'll be able to get out of this program might be. So I have James with me, Stephanie and Michelle. So James, I believe, is from Deloitte. Yeah. And Stephanie and Michelle are both from Suncorp. And they've all been involved in mentoring programs in the past, not necessarily just the Actuarial Institute mentoring program. Some of them have been involved in company programs and things like that. But overall, the premise is the same, and the benefits that they will be able to, that you will be able to get out of the mentoring program will also be the same. So, to start us off, I thought would like to have a chat about some of their experiences that they've had with their mentors. Sorry, am I pressing something? No. As well as trying to find out more about the experience that they've had. So, James, I guess you'd be a great person to start us off with. Would you like to tell us about your prior mentoring experiences, as well as, you know, prior to you starting your experience or your relationship, what benefits did you seek to get out of it?
So, prior mentoring experiences, I've had a few kind of guys who have mentored me before, in terms of career and in terms of what the actual profession is like. So those were really good experiences. One of the best experiences was a very senior guy who was a life actuary. I managed to get in contact with him through a friend at church, and then he was the one who talked to me about what the actual profession was like, what he was passionate about. And he was one of the ones who convinced me to continue with actuarial studies and with to go into a general insurance specialty. What I was looking for going into this mentoring program is, I guess I went into it without very many expectations at all. So I thought, oh, I've had mentors before, this is all right. I'll go in, I'll make a friend who is outside of my work, and then if I have any problems later on, I can come and talk with them.
Great. So that was actually like a very interesting experience in terms of talking to a life actuary and being pushed towards the other way. I'm a life actuary.
Do you want to go as general?
I might have to. So Stephanie, I think you've got a little bit of a different history, I guess, with mentoring. So you're part of the Suncorp Actuarial Professional Family mentoring program. What got you into it, and what made you choose, I guess, the mentor that you currently have?
So when I first started looking for a mentor, I was looking to broaden my experience and my understanding of how things were done outside of my company and in other industries as well. So my background is, I started as a grad, and I've worked for 5 years in personal insurance pricing, and I was getting to that stage where I felt like I was becoming too specialised too early on in my career. And I've just recently moved into a role in capital modelling, also in general insurance. And it just helped open my eyes to how even different departments within the same company, people work in very different ways, the problems they face are very different, and the way they solve those problems can also be very different. So it just made me realise that there was a lot that I didn't know, and it made me want to know how things were being done elsewhere in other companies. So my mentor is a life insurance actuary. He has a lot of experience across the industry in many different companies. And he shares with me his stories about how he's seen things being done in other companies, how people approach problems. And we also talk about how general insurance actuaries can learn from life insurance actuaries and the other way around. There is something that GI actuaries can learn from life actuaries.
In terms of what? Becoming a GI actuary? And Michelle, I guess your story is actually a little bit interesting as well in terms of how you ended up choosing your mentor. Do you want to enlighten us a little bit about that?
Yeah. Okay, so 2 years ago, I signed up for the internship mentoring program as well. And I think going into it, I was just really looking for career advice. and I guess guidance as to, you know, am I heading into the right direction? I think at the time I was just a graduate, so I would have been working for a couple of months. And I thought, you know, if you survive the uni back at, all the exams back at uni and enter the actual profession, I thought, you know, everyone's already very capable. So I guess I wanted, like, guidance as to, you know, how do you set yourself apart from everyone else in the industry? And to be honest, I didn't really know what type of mentor that I was looking for as well. And then I went to this event 2 years ago and, you know, I was, instead of, you know, sitting up here, I was in the audience. And like today, I was listening to, you know, Gloria speak about the mentoring program. And I was just really inspired by her passion for personal development and you know, also her various contributions into the different committees. And I knew then that, you know, I really wanted her to be my mentor. You know, but I was also really scared, you know, to approach her. But, you know, in the end, I didn't. You know, as in the end, I did approach her. And I'm glad I didn't talk myself out of it.
Yes. Excellent. And how has that been so far for you?
It's been great.
Still continuing after 2 years.
Strong.
Exactly. Must be a good mentor.
I'm not that scary, just for the record.
Okay, so from a different perspective, I guess, what do you feel like the biggest benefit that you've gotten out of your mentoring relationship has been? So, Stephanie, you want to?
Just the opportunity to talk to someone who has a very different perspective and be able to bounce ideas around. Someone who's got different experiences, who thinks differently. Yeah, that was the main benefit.
Has it translated, I guess, into any benefits work-wise, or just is it more general, do you feel?
I think it's always good to look for opportunities to apply what you've learned through your mentoring relationship in your day-to-day work. It may or may not be possible, but sometimes it's just the ideas, not necessarily the techniques or the details.
Great. And James, how have you, I guess, benefited from your past mentoring relationships, besides choosing Geo?
Well, that was a big one. Well, I guess being able to talk to someone else about his experience and being able to get their perspective and clarify what it is they think about what the future of the industry is, what they're passionate about, that helps me to kind of decide what do I think about the industry, what do I think is cool, what do I want to go and try and do. And I was doing ERN at one point, so it's good to be able to ask him questions about that.
Right, okay. Did that help you pass?
Yes.
That's a good benefit. And Michelle? What, I guess, have jewels of wisdom has Gloria imparted onto you, I guess, in your 2 year mentoring relationship, I think?
You know, so.
Shopping.
New topic.
That's my favorite too. You know, so not only, you know, did I get, you know, career guidance that I was initially, you know, sorting after, but, you know, I guess what I found very valuable was her advice on how to manage different relationships in the workplace. You know, she does have a lot more exposure to that and more years under her belt. So I found it very beneficial when she shared that experience with me. And I guess I use our meetings as, you know, a checkpoint as to where I'm at in my career. Am I, you know, still getting what I want out of my role? How can I be performing my role differently? In order to make the most out of it. And I guess it's just good to have someone outside of the organisation who I can trust and provide me that different perspective. Sometimes it's like, you know, easy to forget the bigger picture and just focus on like my day-to-day role.
Great. Just for a bit of background, so I've also actually had mentors in the past as well. So actually one of the biggest benefits that I've had from one of my mentors, who actually was, when I was a grad, the AA of the company. And the biggest benefit that I found from that particular relationship was the difference in the ways of thinking. So when you're a grad, or an analyst, I suppose, you're really down into the detail of both products and, you know, trying to understand what you're doing from a process perspective. And being able to have those sort of really interesting chats around, I guess, the industry, strategy in terms of where he thinks that the company would be going and, you know, what directions that we should be changing certain aspects of our business was really enlightening, because it's, I guess, an area that, you know, when you're in that detail, you don't necessarily always get the opportunity to see, or you don't necessarily get those opportunities to have those conversations and be involved with them. So for me, that was my biggest benefit from being there. And, you know, as my career has developed, I've sort of reflected back on some of those conversations and sort of understood a lot better where he was coming from his, I guess, from his position of in the company, in terms of being able to think that way and make certain decisions from that position. So that's also another benefit that you might be able to get out of it. But not all mentoring relationships, I guess, are work like Michelle's. Some of them have a little bit of issues that may need to be, or have challenges that need to be faced. I guess, what sort of challenges have you faced in the past with your mentoring relationships, James?
With my mentor within this program, I went in to meet him without any real clear expectations and without any clear kind of goals in mind. So it was kind of the only aim was really to make friends. So I guess it became very hard then when he was busy and then when I was busy to keep on meeting up and to keep on keeping that relationship together. So we ended up not meeting for quite a few months.
Right. Have you caught up with them recently, or are you planning on it?
Planning on it.
That's good. Stephanie, have there been any major challenges, I guess, in your relationship?
Along the same themes, it's just you need to make time for it, and you need to make sure that you're present both physically and mentally when you do have the mentor meetings. So that means putting aside your day-to-day work and focusing on something broader or something different. And it also helps to have a bit of a plan. So your meetings don't need to be very structured, but it helps to have a few topics or areas of conversation that you want to talk about, just to help direct the conversation.
Great. And Michelle, your relationship, how has that been? Obviously, it's still very successful, but what, I guess, challenges have you faced and how have you guys overcome them?
So I think I'm quite fortunate because I'm still seeing Gloria even after 2 years. So there hasn't been too many challenges.
Well, that's my thought. I hope it's not one-sided.
It's mutual.
But I guess the only thing is, you know, like Stephanie said, sometimes you do get consumed at work and it gets really busy, and it's so easy to just keep on delaying your meetings. So I guess that's completely
okay. Okay. From my experience, I guess, you know, with my past mentors that I've had, I found that sometimes the challenges that I've faced is more around knowing what I want to talk about and knowing how I really want to be able to, not use them, but what I really want to be able to get out of that mentoring relationship. And doing that as a mentee takes work. And a lot of the mentoring relationships is actually driven by the mentee in terms of knowing what you want to get out of that relationship, as well as taking advice, I guess, even if it's not necessarily always what you want to hear from the mentor. So, sorry?
Can I say something?
Yeah, if you want.
No, I'll hold it here. Sorry.
Right.
I'm co-presenting sort of. So.
This is Bill.
Yeah.
I mean, from a mentor's perspective, is what do we expect from a mentee as well? And I think the one things that put you off are like when a mentee commits to something and then they don't do it. And really, the mentee's in charge of the relationship, really, and making it happen. So you know, there might be commitments that you agreed to make for till the next meeting, and then you find out you didn't make those commitments. It can be a bit frustrating because you go, oh, I'm wasting my time. So I think, and the other thing is, mentors are there to help you think. I've had mentees who've just written everything down. As I'm talking, I go, no, you have to think. I can't tell you what to do. You have to think about how you use this information. So I think that's the thing. Respect your mentor by committing, finishing your commitments and the other ones to think.
I think Stephanie also said it really well in terms of, you know, needing to be present, I guess, at the mentoring meeting. You know, knowing what you want to talk about is all well and good, but if you're not really listening or if you're not really communicating in the right way, it can make it both non-productive and can be really annoying for the mentor, I guess, when, you know, like Bill says, you know, you've agreed on a set of action items and they've gone away and come back a month later and, you know, nothing's actually ever been done. Because, yes, you know, you can feel like, you know, you're wasting your time in that relationship and you're wasting other people's time in that relationship. So, you know, it's really good, as Bill says, to respect your mentor, respect their time as well as your own. You know, all of us are quite busy people. So make sure that when you're there, you really utilize it to its full extent. And really be present at it. So I guess moving on to that then, what sort of tips do you have for future mentees based on your experience?
Well, I guess like my mentor was saying, that if you want to do something, you're going to make time to do it. So before you enter into a mentor or mentee kind of relationship, figure out what it is that you really value out of that, and what's motivating you to do it. And if there's nothing really motivating you, then this isn't something that's compulsory. If something comes up, if you don't meet up for a while, then it's not going to continue.
Great. And Stephanie, do you have any great tips?
My tip would be to don't be afraid of connecting with someone different as your mentor. So it doesn't have to be someone with the same, who's followed the same career path that you want for yourself, because you can still learn a lot from someone who's had different experiences.
Excellent. Michelle, any tips that you've
got? I think, like Bill said, I think it is really your responsibility to drive and initiate the catch-ups. You know, a lot of times your mentor is very busy and their schedule is very busy. So, but they do take that time out of their day to meet up with you. So it's just really important that you initiate those catch-ups. And I think how I kind of help work, at least, is I like to have a quiet location. So I appreciate, you know, the privacy of meeting rooms. And sometimes in the past you can catch up with people at cafes and it can be a little bit noisy. And I guess make use of calendar invites. You know, how often do we get that unexpected meeting that pops up? So make sure you block that time out of your calendar as well as your mentor's calendar. And I guess, like Stephanie said, you know, you're not really restricted with the list that, you know, the institute provides you. You know, if it doesn't work out for whatever reason, there are other options. And I guess I'm a prime example where I didn't go with one of the three mentors that I was given, and that has worked out really well for myself.
Right. I guess following on from what my comments have been in the past. Sorry.
Can I ask a question? Has anyone used Skype or anything like that for the meeting?
I prefer it face-to-face. It's just a little bit more personal, I guess. Yeah, all of mine are face-to-face.
When I've been doing mentor programs, sometimes there's people interstate, and I've used like video conferencing. But I think you really need to have some times where you catch up in person as well. Just with VCs, it's just not as... You don't get all the barbecues and they can help you extract, I suppose, the value from that relationship.
So the mentoring program here, I guess, actually does offer, I guess, a lot of our international members the ability to have a mentor here in Australia as well. So we do, I think on the questionnaire, that was one of the options, I think, to select whether or not you'd be okay having your meetings, I guess, over video conference. So I'm not sure though we've had many people that have
not
had
really
that.
In the past.
No, not that we're aware of. Sorry. Going back to what I was saying before, I guess, in terms of one of the best tips that I have, I think, is knowing really what you want to get out of the mentoring relationship up front and agreeing that, I guess, with your mentor, making sure that you have a plan and, you know, you're following it, I think, is the key thing, so that both of you feel like you're getting something out of the relationship, because it is a two-way street. You know, as a mentee, you're looking to get as much experience and advice and understanding from somebody who's been there and done that, and sort of you know, pick up from a lot of their mistakes and things that they've made in the past, so that you can hopefully not make those same mistakes. But on the other hand, you know, you're also giving back, I guess, to the mentor in a way that they can then share appropriately their experience, but then also feel like they're getting rewarded, I guess, for it by seeing you develop and, you know, achieve what you wanted to get out of it as well. So that's the two-way street that I really feel like mentoring really is, from both a mentor and mentee perspective. And I'd hope that, you know, when you set up your mentoring relationships, that's how you enter them, with that in mind, to make sure that both of you are getting something out of it. How are we going? Right. Right, okay, so that's the end of the panel. I think we'll be coming back for a few more questions just after this. So I'll bring you guys back to Gloria, who will actually walk you through how the Institute mentoring program works.
Great, thank you, panel, and thank you to Neil and Bill as well. Hopefully your appetite has been whetted by that panel session, and really, really keen to get right into it. So that was objective one, providing an understanding of mentoring. As Neil mentioned earlier, we are going to have Q&A at the end, so if you've got any other burning questions that you want to ask, feel free, and I'm going to also invite the rest of the panel back up for Q&As as well. So now we're going to look at objective two. So that's how the Institute's program is going to work. So we're now going to have a handout distributed. Jennifer's going to hand them out. For those on the webinar, this is exactly the same slide as you see on the screen at the moment. It's just that we've got a larger version, which is being passed around in hard copy at this stage. So I'm going to take you through a generic process of how to find a mentor if there is no ACTRIS Institute mentoring program. And the way I want to do it is to show you how this program fits into the broader scheme of things. So step number one is the fundamental question. Do you really need a mentor? Think about the objectives and the outcomes that you're after. You heard from the panel earlier that it's really important to know your goal from the outset, and so this is a key question. So your goal or objective may be something that you can get from your boss, or it could be something that you can get from a coach if you're after specific short-term skills. Or it may be a training course that you're after to gain some of the technical skills. Or maybe it's simply that you want a sympathetic ear from a friend. So none of these are purposes of a mentor. So think through what you actually need before you embark on a mentoring journey. Assuming you've concluded that you do need a mentor, then there are a few other questions that you should be considering. Do you want to have a mentor who is an actuary or who is not an actuary? Do you need someone who has the technical skill set the same as you, or somebody who's from a completely different background? Whether somebody who's from your business or somebody who's entirely different. So whether somebody who's in your current practice area or maybe a practice area that you may want to explore going into in the future as well. Once you've identified that, then you have a think about, well, who can you ask? Typically, people would tend to go with people that they have trusted in the past. So it may be a past boss that you trust. It might be a university lecturer whom you've really respected in the past. It could even be extended family friends. So maybe an aunt or uncle who's taken interest in your own career since you were 1 month old. once you've identified those potential sources, that's when you decide on, well, what is the best way to you and most comfortable way for you to actually contact the particular person? Whether it's through email, whether it's a phone call, or whether it's to track them down on LinkedIn and just send them a message. Whatever method of communication that you prefer, go ahead and take up the courage and just ask. It can be a bit daunting, but as you know, Michelle is a prime example who overcame her fears and overcame her courage and benefited as a result of that. So please don't be put off by this barrier that we often put in front of ourselves. And if they accept your invitation, then you can absolutely start beginning the relationship. Or if they decline it, go back to the original place and reconsider who are some of your potential sources. So where does the Institute's mentoring program fit into all these? Well, if you decide that someone from the profession is who you're after as a mentor, that's where the Actuaries Institute mentoring program fits in. So to make it easier for you to find a mentor, we will provide each of you as mentees a short list of potential mentors, which we believe would match your requirements. I should make it clear up front that this is not a one-on-one matching, and we are not providing a matchmaking service. So how do we form that short list, you might be wondering? Hopefully you would all have received an email asking you to fill out a questionnaire about your goals, about who you are, and so on and so forth. And for those who haven't submitted the questionnaire yet, I highly encourage you to do so thoughtfully, because that's the basis of our matching. So be careful what you put in there. For those who were involved in the program last year, you may notice that this year's questionnaire has a few additional questions. And those additional questions are related to the non-business facts about you. So things like your hobbies, what you're interested in, do you go overseas often, and the like. So the reason we included those questions is because research has shown that the success and the longevity of a mentoring relationship is higher if there are common interests outside the professional realm. Part of the growth experience is to do the asking, so we're not going to pair you up and just let you have it easy by just contacting that person whom you've been assigned, but we just want to give you the opportunity to reach out to the potential mentor that you want to. So these are the approximate time frames that we're looking at this year in our program. So today we've got that mentee orientation session. Tomorrow we've got a skills workshop for the mentors who have signed up. For those in Melbourne, we've got another session face-to-face on the 26th of September. And late September and early October, the Institute will be emailing you three potential mentors for each of you who we believe are best suited to the preferences that you've nominated. Once you've received that shortlist, do some research on the people. Have a think about who would be most suited to achieve the goals that you want to achieve, and then you can start contacting that person. We have advised, or we will be advising the mentors, that they will have been selected and their names have been given to a specific number of people. So maybe mentor A will be given an email that says, "Dear so-and-so, your name has been selected as a mentor and your name has been given to three different people." They will not be given your name, so they're not going to sit around thinking, I wonder why Mary hasn't given me a call yet. So they may be expecting a call, but they may still be a little bit surprised when it's you who contact them. Just to note that don't be surprised or put off if a mentor doesn't respond straight away. There may be many good reasons for that. They may be on holidays, for one, or they may be just in a meeting at the time you give them a call, or they are just really, really snowed under because they've got lots of deadlines that they are worrying about at the current point in time. So don't be discouraged by that. We also will say to mentors that they are not obligated to accept the first invitation that they receive. And there may be many reasons for them to decline an invitation. And again, please do not be insulted and please do not be discouraged. It's them, it's not you. Some of the good reasons may be because they feel that they've already taken on quite a lot of mentees, so they don't have the time to actually give the mentoring relationship justice. Another reason might be that if they consider you're in the same practice areas, there may be confidentiality issues or conflict of interest issues that they think it may be a little too difficult to match. Another reason may be that they feel that they're not the most appropriate person to achieve the goals that you've set out to be. So if you're unable to find a mentor after contacting those three short lists that you have been given, please come back to us and we will help you to find another one. But at the same time, I would also encourage you to have a think about whether the objective you've set out at the outset is an appropriate goal for a mentoring experience as well.